Hi friends, welcome back to the Living Life Podcast. I'm Samantha Shambo and today we are recording from the idyllic beachfront here in Tirana, Albania. It's a cloudy day but still so beautiful. The sea is calm, the palm trees are swaying outside my window and people are just relaxing along the shore. Isn't it amazing that we can still stay connected from anywhere in the world? If you've been journeying with us through the season, you know that we've been exploring what it means to live as God's beloved children in our everyday lives. What I call everyday love. In episode 1, we discovered the foundation of it all. That we are deeply loved, fully known, and called into fellowship with Christ. In episode 2, we learned that love needs wisdom. That to live love, we must think with the mind of Christ, guided by His Holy Spirit, and not by the world's patterns. And last week we discussed loving our leaders well. If you missed any of these episodes, I encourage you to listen wherever you get your podcast or on my website at samanthashambo.com. My hope with this podcast is to help you to grow in your faith and learn how to live it out in your everyday life. To help you on this journey, I have prepared free Bible study work pages that you can use on your own or with your small group. You'll find them at samanthashambo.com. Today we turn to one of the most practical and personal topics Paul addresses in the Corinthian letters, holy bodies. And we will study 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to 6. According to N.T. Wright, the whole passage is about learning to use the human body in the right way, for the right purpose. Paul says several remarkable things about the body in this passage, making it clear that the question of sexual immorality is one of the most serious issues that the Corinthians faced. I agree with N.T. Wright, but I want to add that this is one of the most serious issues that we face in the church today. Worldly wisdom tells me that it's my life, my body, and I can do whatever I want. That message is everywhere, in songs, in social media, in all the movies we watch. But Paul tells a very different story. He reminds us that our bodies are not playgrounds for our freedom. They are temples of God's presence and a part of the communal body of Christ. And if we are honest, that can be confusing, even uncomfortable, in a culture that celebrates self-gratification over self-control and personal rights over sacred responsibility. It is hard to know what holiness looks like when the world defines freedom as doing whatever it feels right. Yet Paul invites us into a higher, deeper kind of freedom, one that doesn't suppress desire, but redeems it. In 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, he paints a picture of what it means to live loved in a world that has forgotten what love is. This episode matters because it reminds us that being in Christ isn't only a spiritual idea, it's a whole body calling. The way we live, love, work, rest, and forgive tells the story of whom we belong to. So, as we begin today, I want you to think about this question. What story is your body telling? One of self-rule or one of consecration to our Lord Jesus Christ? I want to invite you to read 1 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6 when you have time. Today I will only read 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12 to 20. All things are permitted for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are permitted for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and the Lord will destroy one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. but anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun sexual immorality, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. Paul deals with several problems concerning bodies in 1 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. And to address them, Paul reaches back into Israel's history, into the Exodus and the Old Covenant, and rereads it through the lens of Christ. Just as God once called Israel out of Egypt to be his holy people, Paul now calls the Corinthians out of their old ways to live as God's new covenant community. The Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Therefore, they must live as those who are free, redeemed, and set apart. When Paul writes, "Clean out the old yeast so that you may be a new batch," he's echoing the language of Exodus 12. God's people were once defined by what he delivered them from, slavery. But now they were defined by who they belong to, Christ. That means holiness is not a restriction. It's a reflection of their new identity. This is why Paul speaks so boldly about sin, discipline, and sexual integrity in these chapters. He isn't merely enforcing moral rules. He's protecting a sacred reality. Our bodies are now temples of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of God himself. Just as God's presence once filled the tabernacle in the wilderness, his Spirit now fills us. We are living sanctuaries, and every choice we make either honors or dishonors that holy presence. The flow of Paul's message in Corinthians follows a clear pattern. We begin by remembering who we are. Before we ever act, we rest in the truth that we are God's beloved, chosen, and sanctified in Christ. Then we learn how to live that identity wisely, according to God's wisdom revealed in the cross and not according to the world's wisdom. Now we bring it all together in our physical lives. Love and wisdom take on flesh in how we use our bodies, treat others, how we pursue purity and honor God with our whole selves. Paul's logic is simple. In Christ, we have been redeemed completely. So every part of us, including our bodies, is sacred. This is possible because of God's gracious gift in Jesus Christ. When we believed and received Jesus as our Savior, we were united with him. We died to our old sinful self and we are raised with him as holy children of God. In that sense, holiness is a gift we receive when we believe, but we have to maintain it in our daily lives. Here are a few important truths that we can draw from these chapters. First, we belong to a holy body. When Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapters 5 and 6, he's dealing with some shocking realities in the church. First, there was a man living in open sexual sin, something even the surrounding pagan cultures would have called disgraceful. And then believers were dragging each other to court, taking their disputes before unbelievers instead of resolving them within the family of faith. Later, Paul mentions other sexual behaviors that might have seemed normal to their culture, but have no place in the kingdom of Christ. Now, at first glance, these might look like separate problems, but Paul sees something deeper happening. To him, they are symptoms of the same disease, mistaken identity. The church has forgotten who they are, whose they are, and why they exist in this world. So Paul begins with heartbreak. It is actually reported, he says, that there is sexual immorality amongst you. That's in 5 verse 1. Notice his tone. It's not cold, but he is grieving. And the real scandal isn't just the sin itself, it's the community's indifference. They were proud of their tolerance, but Paul reminds them that holiness is love in its purest form. Love that protects what God has called sacred. He uses the image of the Passover. Clean out the old yeast so that you can be a new batch. In other words, sin is never just an individual issue. It spreads through the whole loaf. When one member of the body is hurting, or living contrary to Christ, the entire community feels the wound. In chapter 6, Paul turns to another wound. Believers are suing one another in public calls. To Paul, this was another form of bodily harm. The church was supposed to display the reconciling love of Christ to the world, yet they were mirroring the world's bitterness instead. He asked, why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? To drag one another into public disgrace is to tear up Christ's own body. Together, these chapters reveal a single holy truth. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ. And we belong to one another. My choice doesn't just shape my life. They ripple through the entire body of Christ. And this also speaks to how we deal with moral failure within the family. We don't drag one another into public square to be shamed and to be condemned. Instead, we correct one another in love, within the safety of a community guided by the wisdom and the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. Holiness is never just about private morality. It's about public witness. We are the living body of Christ, His hands, His heart, His reflection in the world. That's why it matters how we love, how we forgive, and how we treat one another. Paul's words remind us that our freedom and identity are always communal. We live love not only as individuals, but as members of a sacred body. And that changes how we see our own bodies too. So that brings us to the second point. Our bodies are holy. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When I say your body is holy, it might seem as if I'm stating the obvious. But sometimes we need a reminder. Remember 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 where we read, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here Paul reminds us that our sanctification has been achieved by God for us. We are sanctified. But we are also called to live as saints, which means that as we walk this life together with the rest of the family of Christ, we choose every day to make this identity a reality. To be sanctified means to be set apart for God's purpose. In the Old Testament, objects and people that belonged to God's service were considered holy, not because they were perfect, but because they were dedicated to Him. In the same way, through Christ, our lives and even our bodies have been set apart as instruments for God's glory. Holiness is not about isolation or about superiority. It's about belonging. It means our lives no longer exist for our own pleasure or control, but for God's will and His purposes in the world. To be holy is to live out our true identity as those who have been cleansed, filled with the Spirit, and claimed by God for His glory. I think one of the biggest struggles we face as believers is not a lack of willpower. It's a lack of remembrance. When we forget we are Christ's sacred home, we start living in ways that don't match our true identity. And nowhere is that more visible in how we use our bodies. There's a fascinating bird in Australia called the lyrebird, a name for its tail that's shaped like an ancient lyre harp. It's one of the most gifted mimics in all of creation. The lyrebird can imitate nearly every sound it hears. It calls over 20 different bird species, but also the sound of the forest around it, like camera shutters, car alarms, barking dogs, and even human laughter. It's so convincing that sometimes even other animals are fooled. But here's what's most striking. During mating season, when it's time to attract a mate or to carry on its true purpose, the lyrebird drops all false sounds. It returns to its own melody, the unique God-given sound that identifies it as what it truly is. In that moment, all the imitations fall away and the forest hears the sound of its original design. When I first learned this, I couldn't help thinking about how we too live in a world full of noise. The culture around us keeps us singing the same song. It's our body, Do what feels right. Express yourself. No limits, no rules. And like the lyrebird, we sometimes start to mimic the sounds around us, the rhythms of our culture, the patterns of self-gratification, objectifying one another and self-indulgence. We copy what seems enticing, even when it doesn't fit our nature. But Paul's words in 1 Corinthians call us to remember our true song. He says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. Your identity has already been tuned to heaven's frequency. When the world is loud, holiness is how you sing the melody of your Maker. Our bodies, the way we love, speak, and serve, are meant to harmonize with that sacred song. The more we listen to the Spirit, the more our lives sound like Jesus. Like the lyrebird, you were created with a distinctive sound, one that only you can sing. The world doesn't need more imitations. It needs your life to echo the heart of Christ. Holiness is not about losing your voice. It's about finding it again. What voices have you been mimicking lately? Voices of culture, fear, self-gratification? And what would it sound like to let your life sing your true song? What would change if you truly believed that your body was a sacred space, God's holy dwelling? Next, I want to remind you, you have real freedom. We see this in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 to 20. So let's talk about freedom. Freedom meant a lot to the Corinthians, and it means a lot for us today. Freedom sounds beautiful, powerful, and even sacred, but the question is, what kind of freedom are we talking about? For the Corinthians, freedom meant independence. Paul uses the Greek word exousia, which means the right, the power, and the authority to act. But he ties it to love. Freedom, he says, isn't the absence of limits. It's the presence of love and holiness. When Paul writes to the Corinthians about freedom, he does not introduce a new word. He's challenging an old assumption. You see, the people of Corinth already loved to talk about freedom. They lived in a wealthy, cosmopolitan city filled with trade and art and philosophy and pleasure. Freedom was their anthem. Be it political, personal, or moral, they loved to express it. So when they came to Christ and heard that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, they thought it meant, I can do whatever I want, and God will understand. They began quoting slogans like, all things are lawful for me, and food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. In their minds, that meant, if my stomach is hungry, I eat. If my body desires, I satisfy it. What I do with my body can't touch my spirit. They believe their faith set them free from rules, and it did in a way. But they didn't yet realize it also set them free for holiness. Paul steps in and says, wait, not everything that is lawful is beneficial. And I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, true freedom isn't the absence of limits. It's the presence of love. It's not about doing whatever feels good. It's about living in harmony with the one who lives in me. The Corinthians thought grace meant permission, but Paul shows them grace means transformation. They thought the body was temporary, something disposable, but Paul says, no, your body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for your body. And that changes everything. It means your body is not a toy or a tool, it's a temple. It's not the shell you live in until heaven. It's a sanctuary where heaven already dwells. So when Paul says, you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, he's not restricting them. He's restoring their dignity. He's saying, you don't have to use your freedom to prove yourself anymore. You don't have to chase belonging through indulgence. You already belong. You already have been made whole. And that's the real heart of Paul's message, that freedom isn't the power to do whatever we want, but the grace to live as who we truly are. When we forget it, we start echoing the world's songs instead of heaven's melody. He's reminding them and us that freedom without identity is dangerous. When we forget our bodies belong to God, we use them to fill the voids only God can satisfy. So sex becomes a way to feel wanted. Relationships becomes a way to feel seen. Pleasure becomes a substitute for peace. We start using our bodies to prove what God has already declared, that we are loved, chosen, and valuable. Paul wasn't shaming anyone. He's calling them home. He's saying, don't trade sacred for cheap. You were bought with a price. Your body is not just flesh and bone. It's a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. It means every part of you, your thoughts, your desires, your physical being, was designed for communion, not for consumption. When we have a weak sense of holy identity, we want to divide life into categories, like this is spiritual and this is physical. We pray with our spirits, but we live with our bodies as if they belong to us alone. But Paul is saying you can't separate the two. What happens in your body affects your soul, because you are one whole person. You are not renting a space on this earth. You are carrying the presence of heaven. And this is what holiness really means. It's not a list of restrictions. It's an invitation to live in harmony with who we truly are, holy children of God. When you know you're holy, you treat yourself and others as sacred. So ask yourself, how might holiness actually expand my freedom rather than shrink it? Before we end today, I want to pause on Paul's closing words in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. You were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Paul is reminding the Corinthians and us that freedom is never free. Someone always pays for it. When Jesus went to the cross, he wasn't just forgiving your sins. He was purchasing your freedom. He was paying the full cost of everything that ever enslaved you. Guilt, shame, addiction, fear, self-hatred, the hunger to be loved. On that cross, the spotless one carried all the impurity of the world in his own body. He bore the dishonor that belonged to us so that our bodies could become temples of his Holy Spirit. That's the exchange of grace. He gave his body so that yours could be redeemed. He was broken so that you could be made whole. He was stripped of dignity so that you could be clothed in holiness. He died outside the city, rejected and alone, so that you could live inside his holy presence, forever welcomed in love. When Paul says you were bought with a price, he's saying, don't forget what your freedom cost. It cost Jesus everything, and it wasn't out of duty. It was out of love. He didn't redeem you reluctantly. He did it joyfully because he wanted you back. He wanted his dwelling place to be restored. So our holiness isn't a way of paying God back. It's a way of saying thank you. Every act of obedience, every choice for purity, every moment of love and forgiveness is a way of honoring the one who paid for our freedom with his own life. That's what it means to glorify God in your body. It's to live in a way that remembers the cross, not just on Sunday, but in how we eat, how we work, rest, love, and live every day. Friends, you are not your own. But that's not bad news, it's good news, because belonging to Christ means belonging to love itself. That brings us to the end of today's episode. Remember, I would love to hear from you. What questions does this passage raise in your heart? What resonated with you and what challenged you? Did you disagree with anything that I said? You can share your ideas on our social media pages at the Living Love Podcast or on my website at SamanthaShambu.com. Remember, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Until next time, keep living loved.